If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, July 23rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The price of Bitcoin dipped below $30,000 this week for the first time in about a month. And while the recent crypto sell-off is making some investors nervous, there's another factor lurking that can give them nightmares. Scammers.
There are a lot of bad actors trying to capitalize on, you know, how sexy this market has looked in the last several years.
Dave Michaels covers white-collar crime and financial enforcement for the WSJ. Coming up, we'll talk with him about crypto fraud, how you can stop scams, and what regulators might do to address them. That's after the break.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's easier than ever for individual investors to buy cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, but fraudsters have also found more ways to dupe consumers into forking over their money. Our financial enforcement reporter Dave Michaels has been tracking the growing world of crypto fraud and the efforts to contain it, and he's with us now. Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, Dave, it's one thing for people to lose money from watching the value of their crypto holdings drop. It's another thing to lose money in a scam. How big a deal is crypto fraud, and how much money are we talking about that people have reported losing?
There probably are some good estimates of this, but it is hundreds of millions of dollars. There's one Ponzi scheme that the SEC went after not that long ago that was purported to be, you know, $1 billion Ponzi scheme. So because there are so many different, you know, coins and so many different scams, it's hard to say, like, well, there's one figure, but, you know, it's a lot. There are a lot of bad actors trying to capitalize on, you know, how sexy this market has looked in the last several years.
And why are so many scammers going after cryptocurrency investors?
You know, I think whenever you have in this, whether it's cryptocurrencies or stocks, real estate, whenever you have people who think they can get over on other people who don't know very much, you're going to have scams. But one of the problems with cryptocurrencies, and this is just the way the market works, is there are not licensed intermediaries and licensed gatekeepers. So if someone calls you up and tries to sell you a stock that you've never heard of, you might say, well, hey, what's your name? I need to look you up on the industry, you know, clearinghouse for broker dealers and find out if you're really licensed, right? You can do that. You can go online to FINRA's website and check whether someone really is licensed or not. You can't do that in crypto. So if someone hits you up on social media and says, oh my gosh, this is the coolest new project in crypto, there's no way to easily background that person. You don't know if they're licensed. Probably you shouldn't be dealing with somebody who hits you up on social media anyway. When it comes to purchasing an investment, you should look to the most credible sort of intermediary you can find and figure out if that's an asset that, you know, fits your risk tolerance and your needs. But it is harder to do due diligence in this world, I think it's fair to say.
So you mentioned social media, but what are some other ways that scammers find their targets?
You know, social media is big in this world, whether it's chat rooms on messaging apps or even people getting hit up on Instagram, going to random websites, and, you know, hearing about the hot new thing that's going to be the next Bitcoin. I mean, there is no, you know, because of like the way that we communicate today digitally, there's no shortage of ways for scammers to communicate their offering, so to speak, to unwitting investors.
Now, are there any telltale signs that an offer or promotion isn't legitimate?
I think because this is a market where there are a few well-known assets like Bitcoin and Ethereum, and then there are a lot of other coins that it is hard for your average person to understand the purpose for them. If you're buying these assets, you know, you should really probably understand what the purpose of a coin is. And does it, what is the function? And, you know, it is also hard to know if that's an investment that should be regulated. If it's not regulated like a stock or a bond is, it's hard for your average person to know to ask about that. But that's a good question to ask, is how is this regulated? So if someone's telling you that there's a purpose that you don't understand, and don't worry about regulation, this complies with all the laws of, you know, every country in the world, that probably is too good to be true. So like I said, I think there are intermediaries in this world that have gotten big and probably are, you know, more trustworthy. And if you are interested in this market as an investor, and I'm talking about individual investors, not institutional investors, who certainly probably know what they're doing, but as an individual investor, you probably have to seek out the most credible advisor you can find and try to get good information to sort of slake your curiosity.
And so what recourse do people have who feel as if they've been duped by a crypto scammer?
Well, it is a difficult thing to navigate because this is an unregulated market, and there is no natural supervisor of these businesses that can investigate your claims. So you really, as a investor, you fall back on reporting it to law enforcement, whether it's federal law enforcement or state law enforcement, and potentially an agency like the Federal Trade Commission, which does take complaints about these kinds of scams. So it's going to be an exercise in following the money, which can be difficult in this market, depending upon, you know, how sophisticated the scammer is. Your best bet is to make those complaints to law enforcement.
Okay, so we've heard for years from everybody from lawmakers to Federal Reserve officials to the current head of the SEC that there needs to be some regulation or more control over the world of cryptocurrency, not just to stop scams, but to apply trading standards and to ensure fairness. What's the latest on that?
These regulators seem to be making more of an effort to regulate crypto than they ever have before. The chairman of the SEC has appealed to the Congress and said, hey, I think there ought to be some kind of regulation of the spot market for cryptocurrencies. There ought to be some sort of investor protection regime that Congress authorizes a regulator to carry out. And, you know, the Treasury Department has also been more outspoken about trying to find a way to regulate some aspects of the cryptocurrency market. There is a meeting of the President's Working Group on Financial Markets to discuss, you know, one segment of the cryptocurrency markets, which are cash-backed stablecoins, and whether there ought to be some recommendations for new authorities for the government to regulate stablecoins.
And what are those? What are stablecoins?
Stablecoins are a kind of cryptocurrency that substitute for national currencies. So there probably are a lot of reasons, at least several reasons that they exist. But one reason that they exist and one reason they're used is to make it easier to trade in and out of other cryptocurrencies on crypto exchanges.
Okay. So what does the cryptocurrency industry say about the prospects of regulation by the government?
I think the cryptocurrency industry is pretty divided on this. I mean, I think there are some larger players that have adopted a lot of the policies and procedures of Wall Street who acknowledge that some kind of regulation is coming. I think they'd like to shape it, and I think that they don't want it to be quite like the regulation of securities or derivatives today. And then there are other segments of this market that, you know, they don't want any regulation at all. They think it's incompatible with the purpose and the values of this market. And, you know, the question is, which of those views is going to prevail? Because eventually the market is going to have to give some constructive input to the government on how to move forward.
All right. That's WSJ reporter Dave Michaels. Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks very much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.